You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome into a Monday edition of Locked On Balls. It's your team every day. I'm your host, Eric Kane. Do some radio here in Knoxville. I write for the Rival site covering Tennessee football recruiting. That's VolQuest.com. And we're talking everything Tennessee Volunteers here on this podcast. But NBA Draft's coming up. And this week, NBA Draft GOAT Chad Ford, Locked On NBA Draft host Raphael Bulwer, and Locked On NBA host John Carillas will be live this year covering the NBA Draft. It's Locked On NBA Draft 2021, brought to you by Built Bar. Get the local expert analysis on every single pick. You can follow Locked On NBA on YouTube today and watch our live coverage on July the 29th at 7 p.m. So it's not this week, but you know what I'm saying. We're going to be covering the NBA Draft, a couple of Tennessee players who will be selected in the first round most likely, all that and more with the guys on the NBA Draft show. So today and this week, we're talking SEC Football Media Days. We previewed a little bit on Friday of what we're going to get into. Going to kind of go over that again a little bit, but also going to hear from Will West. He is one of the guys on our morning show at the Sports Animal, co-host Will West. He's been in this market for a long time, done radio at the Sports Animal for a long time. You guys know who he is. He's going to drop on the podcast and kind of preview his thoughts on what SEC Media Days will be this year, and from an SEC perspective, from a Tennessee's perspective, and kind of give me some pointers because I'm the new kid on the blog. This is my first time going down to Hoover and covering SEC Media Days all week long, so that's where I'm going to be this week, and really looking forward to that. So looking forward to having Will West come on in segments 2 and 3 to talk SEC Football Media Days. And you know, here in segment 1, I'm going to kind of go over a couple of things that looking forward to for this week, the SEC predictions might look like, which day I think is going to be the best, all that and more. So just kind of some news and notes here in segment 1, but that's kind of the rundown here today. But all that and more here this week, SEC Football Media Days from Hoover, Alabama. Looking forward to getting down there. And of course, I remind you guys to follow me on Twitter at LockedOnVols and at _Kaner for tons of video pictures, all that and more on Twitter.com this week. All right, so Tennessee will be at SEC Media Days. That is coming up on Tuesday. Josh Heupel, they will have the morning or one of the morning sessions, and should be getting going around, I want to say around 10:30 Eastern time. I could be wrong. I don't have a schedule yet. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I do not have a schedule yet. I need to get a schedule, and I'll have much more definitive answers. But Tuesday morning, Josh Heupel in Tennessee, along with Valus Jones Jr. and Alante Taylor, will be in Hoover. And they'll be making the rounds, going to the radio room, going to the print room, going to the press conference room, all that stuff. There'll be tons of audio sound bites and everything. But that is when Tennessee gets going. And when I look at kind of the roundup for who's going to be going on what day, I think Tennessee's day on Tuesday is going to be the most intriguing, okay? You've got Kirby Smart in Georgia, who could very well be a college football playoff team this year. You have Mark Stoops in Kentucky. That's, you know, Kentucky and Tennessee are kind of thrown in there to kind of space them out a little bit. But you've got Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin. We'll talk on Lane Kiffin here in a moment. But, you know, Ole Miss, one of the more intriguing storylines in the SEC this year. How good can Ole Miss be? I mean, really, how good can Ole Miss be this year? That'll be intriguing. So a ton of hype for Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin. That's going up on Tuesday. And then you have Tennessee. First-year head coach Josh Heupel. Of course, we're very invested in that team here on this podcast in Knoxville. But, you know, from a grand perspective, how much interest does Tennessee draw, you know, around the SEC? I would say probably not a whole lot right now. But I do think Tuesday could be, like, the best day in terms of personalities there. Today, you've got Dan Mullen in Florida, Ed Orgeron in LSU, and Shane Beamer in South Carolina. Sure, Florida will have tons of questions on how can you replace all this production? Can you continue to win 10-plus games, even after you say goodbye to so many of your offensive talent from last year? Who's next at quarterback? All that type of stuff. Ed Orgeron, okay, was last year a fluke? Can you blame it on COVID? You know, it was kind of a lull after winning a national championship in 2019. What's in store for LSU this year? This year for Ed Orgeron, and plus a ton of off-the-field things going on with Coach O and all that. So today might be pretty good. And then you got Shane Beamer of South Carolina, and, you know, first-year head coach of the Gamecocks, kind of on a recruiting tear here lately, but that's Monday's slate. I mentioned Tuesdays. Wednesdays is a good day as well. It's Alabama Day. You have Nick Saban. You'll have Mike Leach as well. You have Jimbo Fisher with Texas A&M, and then you have Clark Lea of Vanderbilt. Wednesday's pretty strong. Saban, Leach, and Fisher. I guess maybe I'm picking Tuesday simply because Josh Heupel and Tennessee are going to be there. But I think in terms of storylines in the SEC media days heading into it this week, Georgia's one and Ole Miss is one. And both of those teams are going on the same day coupled with Tennessee. That's why my vote would be for Tuesday. But Wednesday strong with Alabama, Mississippi State, Texas A&M. And then Thursday, kind of a dud in my opinion. You've got Sam Pittman of Arkansas, Brian Harsin of Auburn, and Eli Drinkwitz of Missouri. That is getaway day. So that's kind of the layout for what the SEC Media Days will look like this year. I think Tuesday is going to be a really, really good day. But today should be strong as well, and I think Wednesday will be good. And then, yeah, Thursday is probably going to be a dud. But you look at some of these players who are going to be present. I mentioned Alante Taylor and Valus Jones Jr. for Tennessee. They'll be solid. But some other players I'm really looking forward to hearing from, John Mechie. You know, Alabama is very much wide receiver U right now because of all the talent it's churned out the last couple of years. And that receiving corps it had in 2018 is incredible. Just incredible. Or 2019. 2019 is incredible. 2018 is incredible. They're all in the NFL and they're all first rounders. And now you got John Mechie. Could he be the next one? You continue to look down here. Auburn's got Bo Nix and Owen Papoe, a former Tennessee recruit that was very, very, had some high interest in the Vols. I'm looking forward to hearing from him. JT Daniels at Georgia. I'm looking forward to hearing from him. You've got Derek Stingley Jr., who's probably my most intriguing prospect that's going to be here at Media Days. Really looking forward to hearing what he has to say about LSU, about defense, about his NFL prognosis. Matt Corral at Ole Miss. I think that's going to be very, very interesting. You've got Nick Muse, the tight end for South Carolina. He's a senior. He's been there, done that. And really, that's about it in terms of the star power. There's been so many guys. There's been so much talent turnover. And you've heard me talk about it. You'll hear Will talk about it here in a moment. We've talked about it on our radio show. There's so much star power that's been turned over the last couple of years in the SEC that, you know, some of these guys might become stars, but we just don't know it yet. Of course, you got Matt Corral at Ole Miss, who's already a star. Derek Stingley Jr., who's already a star. JT Daniels, who's a very good player that we know of. Bo Nix, who we know his name. But outside of those four, that's the most, you know, name recognition in the SEC right now that's going to be in Hoover. So really intriguing to get to know some of these guys, learn about them, and remember 3 months down the road, oh yeah, that guy. I remember when he said this at Media Day. So kind of looking forward to that. SEC media predictions. We will vote this week while we're in Hoover. I believe Georgia will win the East. I believe Alabama will be picked to win the West. I believe Alabama will be picked to win the SEC. But should Alabama be picked to win the SEC altogether? You guys know I've been super high on Georgia. I'm the type of guy that has to see it to believe it. I've seen Georgia's players do it. I've seen Georgia's players play and perform. Alabama, a lot of reloading. I haven't seen their quarterback play. Okay? I haven't seen a lot of the production that's going to be there. But one thing that I have seen year after year after year after year is how Alabama gets it done year in and year out. So Alabama will likely have my vote to win the SEC, but Georgia, I'm intrigued to see how many people pick Georgia to win the SEC outright, because I think there will be a lot. There will be a lot. I haven't completely decided yet. My vote's probably going to be Alabama, but Georgia's going to be right there. I think that's how it's going to go as well, and I don't believe Tennessee will have any SEC preseason picks. Depending on how many teams they go, you might get Jalen Hyatt on a list. But that would probably, and Cade Mays. Cade Mays will likely be on a list, probably second team all SEC preseason, but that's probably going to be about it. But those are some highlights to kind of look forward to for this week at SEC Media Days in Hoover, Alabama. Again, I'm going to be down there all week long doing this podcast, doing some radio, doing some reporting. If you guys want to holler at me, if you want to ask me any questions, we'll do some Twitter Tuesday tomorrow. So get your questions in at _Caner at Locked On Vols. Any questions you have, I'll filter them in throughout the show tomorrow for Twitter Tuesday. We're back 5 days a week, guys. Tons of content coming your way this week. Really, really looking forward to it. And it's going to be a grind for me this week, but you know what's going to keep me on my game is Built Bars. The coconuts, the cherries, the raspberries, the mint brownies, the double chocolates, the salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolates. My mix box is what I'm going to be taking with me. Two of every flavor to get me through this week in Hoover, and that's thanks to Built Bar, and where I got them at BuiltBar.com. It is health conscious for that guy and gal. If I'm looking to lose or maintain weight, Built Bar is for me. It's for you as well. Most of these bars, only 17 to 18 grams of protein. Only 130 to 180 calories per bar. Only 4 to 5 grams of sugar. Only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. It's amazing flavors, all tasty, and all healthy for you. And if you order today, you can get the Grasshopper Cookie or Raspberry. whatever you like, those are two that are on limited time right now, the Grasshopper Cookie or the Raspberry or any of the other 9 OGs. Right now, go to Biltmore.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order, all at Biltmore.com. Back on Locked On Vols here on a Monday edition, previewing some more of the SEC Media Days coming up all week long from Hoover, Alabama. Joining me is my co-worker here on the starting lineup on 99.1 The Sports Animal and online at 99thesportsanimal.com, Will West. Will, thanks for taking the time, man.
Hey, appreciate you having me, Cater.
Okay, so you are an SEC Media Day veteran, all right? You've gone, a decade-plus years. You know the ins and the outs. We're going to get into a lot of that because this is going to be my first time going, and I want you to adequately prepare me for what I'm going to see. But first and foremost, kind of what is your big storyline coming out, 2021 SEC Media Days? What are you looking for, and what should we be on the lookout for over the next week?
Yeah, just how did things change with COVID last year? That's the one thing. If I could ask one question to each coach, it would be what changed from a process standpoint for you setting up your team with because of COVID-19 last year? How many workouts were you actually able to get in? How many practices were you able to get in? What was your process as far as trying to make sure that you could keep players apart so that you could, not have to contact trace as many guys, things like that? Like what was that like for the players, and how tough was it to develop players, and how much player development got lost in the process of with COVID-19? That's the big thing that I would wonder. And then what's changed this year? And because I'm assuming there are going to be players that last year didn't give us a ton that we're going to see this year and be like, well, where in the world did that guy come from? And it's because he has a full offseason of weight training program, full offseason of working with the coaching staff, working with the receivers, working with the guys in his position group, the veteran guys that he didn't get the year before. And so I think we're going to have a lot of brand new breakout player stars in the SEC this year, or guys that we saw last year that did kind of, that were breakout players, that end up just having monstrous years this year. And we're like, whoa, where did that come from this guy? I think that we forget how much was lost in the player development process during the offseason because of COVID. And so those are the types of things that I want to hear about from the coaches, is what it took from them and what's added back this year. And are there any guys specifically that they think could have big breakout campaigns, because they finally are getting that offseason program?
As well, the biggest story of the offseason just came down the pipe a couple of weeks ago: name, image, and likeness. How much will NIL dominate the conversation with coaches and players over the next week?
I think way more than it probably should. I think especially for the coaches. I mean, let's just be honest. Unless a coach is doing something they shouldn't be doing, they shouldn't have much involvement in this, right? I mean, no, for the players, it's a big deal, right? For Bo Nix, yeah, That's a big deal to ask him that question. But I don't think for the coaches, they're going to get asked a ton because everybody's going to be writing articles about that. What do the coaches think of this and things like that? Here's one thing to watch out for. Who's that coach that pops off and says something he shouldn't say about name, image, and likeness? Because somebody's going to. Because if you've never been around coaches, they're because they have to spend 21 hours a day sometimes around their team 7 days per week, there's a myopia that happens there where their world is the only world that matters and there's nothing else with them. It's just like blinders with their program. And they're the king of it and nobody should be able to say anything to them. I want to know who that coach is that's going to pop off and say something they shouldn't. Some guys, like Ed Ogeron's learned over the years, just don't say anything. So he'll just sit there and filibuster and literally read players' names off of a list and to make sure he doesn't actually have to answer questions. Saban's going to say whatever Saban wants to do. And, the national media won't hold him accountable for it, but there will be people on social media and things like that that will hold him accountable. What does Nick Saban have to say about it? What's Kirk Kirby doesn't say a lot? What does he have to say? Is it Mike Leach, a guy that's already struggling to rebuild a terrible culture of Mississippi State that he inherited? Is it going to be him? Somebody's going to pop off and say something about NIL shouldn't say. And then, of course, everyone on social media is going to go after them for that.
You look at the representatives coming from each team, only two players this year from each team, and it's a whole new wave of talent. You had so many talented guys graduate or go on to the NFL, but, some nice players, a collection of players, quarterbacks, Bo Nix, JT Daniels will be there. You've got John Metchie, wide receiver from Alabama, who's going to be the next big wide receiver from Alabama. You have Derek Stingley Jr. from LSU. Any of the players that you're looking forward to hearing from the most, and maybe a guy that I haven't mentioned that you're looking forward to kind of learning more about?
Stingley's a guy that I probably am looking forward to hearing more about. We might not hear a ton from him during the year, so that's one. Matt Corral hasn't talked a ton because of COVID, so we haven't gotten to hear what Matt Corral has to say, and that guy could be the biggest star in the SEC this year, right? So Bo Nix had his opportunity in front of the camera, but it's not like Ole Miss was a household name last year. It's a 500 program last season, you know what I mean? So Matt Corral, for the stats that he threw up, we haven't gotten to hear him talk a whole lot. And Mitchie being the guy that's coming back from Alabama and with losing all of those other receivers around him, how much of the load's going to be on him? How ready is he for that? That's always one thing that I pay attention to at Media Days is you'll see some dudes that are just, just blinder. Like it's just deer in headlights, right? They're totally lost when the media's talking to them. The moment's massive. They freak out. And I don't want to say they're not coached well by the sports information departments because it's gotten better over the years. Because back in the day when it was the old school, they definitely weren't coached particularly well. But then you'll see other players that'll blow you away with the kind of person that they are, with how professional they take it. The guys that are, when they're doing interviews with us in Knoxville, Tennessee, even though they play in Gainesville, Florida, Columbia, South Carolina, they're cognizant of the brand, right? Like there was a time, Vernon Corum, do you remember him? The was that his name? The cornerback from Florida, yeah. Who he's playing in the NFL now. And Josh kind of tried to get a toss-up question, softball question at the end as a kicker about Josh Ward did about the Florida Tennessee rivalry. He refused to say anything bad about Tennessee because he wanted to protect his brand in case he ends up being a Tennessee Titan. He knew better than to do that, right? And you see guys like that. Cam Sutton was a guy that everybody I talked to from different markets around the SEC, they were blown away by how professional that guy was. And they were like, you know what, with his size, it wasn't a guy who was expected to be on the NFL radar. But former players that are in the media, things like that, they were saying that guy's going to be in the NFL. Cam Sutton's in the NFL because of just how unbelievably focused he was on whatever task you put in front of him. Those are the things that I'm always looking at Media Days, is to find out who's the moment too big for, and then who is that guy that you're like, oh, they've taken this seriously. Eric Berry was the guy that would take the interview seriously like that. Like everything they do is almost like a fight, and I'm going to succeed at this no matter what. Cam Sutton was one of those dudes, and I think it's one of the reasons Cam Sutton's in the National Football League and has done so well in the NFL.
You look at it from a Tennessee perspective, and of course, this is Will West, the Sports Animal, joining Locked On Vols. You have Valus Jones Jr., you have Alante Taylor. No surprise whatsoever, those are the two guys that were selected to go. Cade Mays would have been fine, but with the Georgia storyline, you don't need to create some more controversy, I guess, at SEC Media Days. But also Josh Heupel, first-year head coach for Tennessee. I know this might seem as a chore that coaches just have to do. Some of the players might think it's an unbelievable opportunity and they're excited for it. But what does Tennessee need to accomplish on Tuesday? You've got, again, Josh Heupel, Valus, and Alante. What do those guys need to accomplish? And, you know, if anything, on Tuesday with the media and with all the microphones in their faces.
And not get lost in the wash. So the one thing you're going to find, I think, is that there's some people that the media presumes are going to give you a lot. Like Lane Kiffin's a guy that people presume is going to give you a ton. Lane doesn't give you much at all. Like, honestly, when Lane's talking, he's incredibly boring when he's up there on the microphone doing the press conference. He's probably as bad as anybody. But because of his social media personality, because of his off-the-camera personality, you know what I mean? And like Lane's going to have a lot of people want to get him to say things and trying to bait him into saying things as if he doesn't know what's coming. But I think for Tennessee, it's just don't get lost in the wash. Alante Taylor's going to represent Tennessee incredibly well. I think Valus Jones Jr. is going to represent Tennessee incredibly well. Josh Heupel's an interesting guy because it's not like some guys like using that moment to talk to the media and to build their brand and things like that. James Franklin was a guy that loved that. Bruce Pearl was a guy that loved that. There are other guys that look at it and it's a chore, and you can tell that it's a chore. Josh Heupel seems to come about it like, well, it's part of my job, right? And so there's no chore to it. It is what it is. And he's very similar to David Cutcliffe. It's a guy that Josh Heupel reminds me of the most in the coaching world is David Cutcliffe. Offensive-minded coach that looks similar, you know, when Cutcliffe was that age. I think, you know, that's kind of how I think that Tennessee needs to go, do their job. That's it. They're going to ask a ton about the NCAA at some point. Frankly, they might not because Tennessee's so under the radar right now. And I don't know, you just kind of, for Tennessee, don't say anything dumb about the NCAA and just try to get noticed a little bit and do your job. But I think you'll be fine if you're Tennessee. You don't need to grab headlines right now if you're Tennessee. Let your play do the talking for you.
That is part one of my two-part conversation with Will West. We'll have more on the other side. But first, let me remind you guys about Bet Online. Fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season, it is in full swing. You can track all the long balls and the rest of the action at Bet Online. Get all the news odds, information for all your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, I want you to head on over to BetOnline on your laptop or your mobile device and check out all the great sporting news. You can sign up for the bonuses and the contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as these teams begin preparing for their runs throughout the playoffs. Head on over to the website or use your mobile device. Sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline is your online sportsbook experts. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON for that 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, it's your online sportsbook experts. All right, so you look at the way the days are situated. Of course, I mentioned you got Georgia, Kentucky, Ole Miss, Tennessee. That's Tennessee's day on Tuesday. You kick things off today with Florida, LSU, and South Carolina. Wednesday is Alabama Day with Nick Saban, along with Mike Leach, Jimbo Fisher, and Clark Lee of Vanderbilt. And then we'll conclude the week with Arkansas, Auburn, and Missouri. I would say if there's a day that sticks out to me, Will, I would say it's Tuesday. Of course, for us, Tennessee goes in the morning. But also, you get Lane Kiffin, you get Mark Stoops of Kentucky, but you get Kirby Smart. There's a lot of people that are kind of riding that Georgia wave and saying, if it's not, you know, myself included, if it's not this year, then when is it for Kirby Smart in Georgia? So I would say if there's a day to look out for, it would be Tuesday. Would you agree, or do you have another day in mind?
No, I think it's Wednesday, honestly. And part of it's because when it's in Hoover, Alabama, when Alabama comes, it's wild, right? Yeah. Now, this year, they're not going to let fans in the lobby like they usually do, where you have hundreds of fans there trying to get autographs and things like that and get a picture with Nick Saban and the players. So that's not going to be as big as it has been in the past, right? Or when Tua was there, gracious, the number of people that were there for Tua. I mean, it wasn't Johnny Manziel, but it was still a lot. And for Tebow, it was still a lot. But for me, the reason why is Kirby doesn't give you a lot. Kirby's that guy that the media is a chore that he has to deal with. And the public is a chore that he has to deal with. He just liked to go coach ball, I think, and be left alone for the most part. Mark Stoops is shockingly candid. He doesn't have like a big personality or anything like that. But if you ask an honest question, you're going to get an honest answer. You ask something dumb, Mark Stoops is just going to dismiss your question. That's just kind of, here's the thing, and you'll notice in media days, and I think you'll learn. And I know I've told you this off the air, but I'll go ahead and just say it on your podcast. You are going to walk out of media days having so much less respect for the people that you grew up idolizing in this industry. Because a lot of the old school guys, that's one of the reasons why, like I've told you, I didn't know a ton about Hubs beforehand because I'd never really done the message board thing. But I instantly became a Brent Hubs fan going and listening to his questions in press conferences. Because right when it would pop in my head, oh, the relevant question based on what he just said is this, Hubs would already have it out, right? Like his mind just went faster than mine did it, and he got it out quickly. You're going to sit in the main media room where it's at. I used to call it the print room, but the big ballroom that they have at Hoover. And you're just going to be like, oh my gosh, these dudes are just asking questions for their ego so that they can get their name said in front of the coach. That's it. And then you're going to go to the radio and internet room, like the new media room, and it's going to be a bunch of people who want to be future sideline reporters and stuff like that, asking doofus questions that you're just like, my gosh, will someone please take the mic from him or her? Like, it's wild how few questions you get. Used to, there was a guy from Touchdown Alabama magazine that would always ask some stupid Homer question to everybody about Alabama. How bad do you think you're going to get beat by the Tide this year? Yeah, four touchdowns up, is that enough? And then you would have one guy from the rival side from Arkansas that would be like, asking literally every player, what do you think about the Hogs this year? And literally all the players. And so you had like a guard from Tennessee that would be like, well, we don't play them. You know, so I have, yeah, but what do you think about the Hogs? I think Arkansas is a fine program and they really represent their state well, right? And so that guy could use that in some write-up later on that he would use about Alabama. There's a lot of that. And a lot of it's ego and a lot of like big egos when it comes to, you'll be amazed when you're like at events talking to people and they're shoulder surfing to see how can I network with somebody that's more important than you are, right? And then you'll find the guys when the guys that are in smaller markets in Knoxville will roll up and be like trying to get in with you because you're in a larger market than they are. So it's what they call shoulder surfing in Hollywood, right? Where they're trying to find out, do I need to be talking to somebody who's more important than you are? There's a lot of that that's going on there. And then you'll have your core group of people that, frankly, they're all Josh Ward's friends. They're just good dudes. Eric Salih's just a good dude. Braden Gall's just a good dude. You know what I mean? So you'll have people like that. Adam Kramer's a good dude. You know what I mean? Like, so there are people like that that you'll talk to that, they're just normal. You know what I mean? But you'll see a whole lot of, and what you'll see is the big star people during the events, they're in the weight room at the Winfrey. They're working out. And so the people who are superstars are maximizing their time. They're not sitting there having a beer, networking, and things like that. Now they're already on ESPN. in or things, you know what I mean, stuff like that. So I guess they don't need to shoulder surf. But you're going to find that that happens a little bit. Everybody's pretty nice for the most part. There's a ton of competition to get the coaches and the players on Radio Row. So you're going to see it's wild to see the way that it happens and just the mass of people begging to get interviews and stuff like that from them. And the other thing you're going to see is how much they actually expect the coaches and the athletes to do. There was one year they had to do 17 different interview sessions before they hit Radio Row. And it was just wild. You know what I mean? How they had to do it. I think now it's down to like 12 or 13. But still, when you ask them to do 13 different rooms and breakout sessions and things like that, and then you do Radio Row, you do 8 interviews on Radio Row. Dude, I do radio for a living. I'm not trying to do 21 radio interviews a day. You know what I mean? Like, that's terrible. Yeah. But coaches do it. And that's one of the reasons why they get frustrated about it. They try not to do as much. Like in Atlanta, you get nothing from the Radio Room. Nothing. Absolutely. Radio Row is worthless in Atlanta. There's few that do it right. Georgia will come by and things like that. And they all come by early, but nobody wants to go in the afternoon. I mean, Ryan McGee telling us one year we were in Atlanta because you're not on a row. You're just in a big ballroom. And he was like, this ain't Radio Row. It's a dang bunkhouse stand. Because he walked in to do an interview with me and Josh. Like 15 people asked him to do an interview while he was there. And he's like, my gosh, I can't even walk in here anymore. So that's what you'll see is just the mass of people. Now, the one thing is, I don't know with COVID how much that's going to change this year. In years past, there were 1,200 media members there. I don't know how many passes they're limiting it to. I don't know what it looks like there. Alabama's a state with less than 30% of the people vaccinated at this point. So I don't know what the SEC's decided to do about that or how many stations have allowed all of their people to come or how much money was lost. So now you have, you know, TV stations that used to send people for 4 days that might only send them for the day the school that they cover is down there. So it'll be interesting to see the way that it all works. But I will tell you, man, if you thought you've heard stupid questions before, I cannot wait for you to tell me the stories when you get back this time.
Ooh, I can't wait for that. All right, man. Last thing, and I'll get you out of here. Appreciate you joining me. Of course, the media is going to pick SEC champions, West, East, and SEC overall champion, and, you know, the all-conference preseason teams. You got Alabama, Georgia from the West, the East. Alabama probably winning it all. Any surprises there? Do you think that will go differently? And for Tennessee's sake, do you think there will be any volunteers listed on the preseason media all SEC team?
No, I don't. I don't think there's going to be a Tennessee. Well, I'll answer your last question first. No, I don't think there's going to be not a first team selection. I don't think there's going to be. You'll get Bayless Jones as like a third team kick returner, something like that. I think is what you'll get. Honestly, Aubrey Solomon, I think it should be Matthew Butler, but it seems on the preseason lists I've seen it's Aubrey Solomon more than Matthew Butler, but whatever. I mean, that seems to be the way that they're going. And when you look at the national media, what they're choosing for the SEC, I think the one thing it's going to be Bama and it's going to be Georgia. Some people are going to get cute, try to say LSU or something like that, or Texas A&M just for shoo-shoo and giggles. The interesting thing when it comes to selecting is who's second, third, fourth in the West. What does that pecking order look like? How far up do they have Ole Miss? How far up do they have LSU after what they were last season? And then who's third? Because I think that's what you're playing for right now in the SEC East is Georgia 1, Florida 2, even though you're asking Dan Mullen to reload a lot. I think our expectation is he's probably going to reload, at least to some extent. And then also Tennessee's on a rebuild. How far can Missouri come? What, you know, do they finally have an offense in Lexington? That's going to be the question. And so, and will Mark Stoops, is he willing to let his offense just throw the ball all over the yard and run 80 plays a game when he's been a guy that protect the ball and win with defense? So is he going to be one of those defensive head coaches that gets in the way of his offense and his team being as productive as it can be because he's so concerned with protecting his defense? But I think who's third in the SEC East is going to be the big question. Second, third, fourth, what does that pecking order look like in the SEC West? That'll be the big one.
Early Risers Club on the Sports Animal can hear the starting lineup 6 to 9 Eastern time every single morning. Tons of audio, tons of analysis this week from SEC Media Days, right?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, look, we're constantly reacting to what happened on Media Day, setting you up for the day before. That's what we're going to do every day from 6 to 9 o'clock, man. So really appreciate it. Glad you're going to be down there. Glad I don't have to be down there. And so I'm excited for you to be down there, man, and to check that out. You're going to do a fantastic job.
Appreciate Will West for checking into the podcast, sharing some of his experiences of SEC Media Days over the year. We'll have a ton of coverage right here on this podcast, Locked On Vols. And be sure to dial in for live tweets, pictures, videos at _Kaner and at Locked On Vols. throughout this week in Hoover. So guys, we're talking football right now, but the NBA draft that's coming up, and this week, the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021, it's happening. It's presented by Locked On and the Odyssey, featuring analysis from the GOAT of NBA mock drafts, Chad Ford of Odyssey, and NBA experts Brian Schallenbrunn and former general manager Ryan McDonough. Our Locked On NBA local experts will make selections and trades of your favorite basketball teams throughout the week-long special event. You can search the Ultimate Mocked On Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. That's going to do it for a Monday episode of Locked On Vols. Guys, I appreciate it. Glad to be back 5 days a week right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We'll have plenty of coverage, and we'll preview. We'll have plenty of coverage of everything happening in Hoover on Monday, and we'll preview Tennessee as they step up to the podium tomorrow for a Tuesday. All that and more coming up on a Tuesday show. But until then, guys, have a great rest of your Monday, everybody.